Very early on in Jesus' ministry, in the book of in John's Gospel, we have the story of a religious man, Nicodemus, the Pharisee, a leading Pharisee, thoroughly schooled in the scriptures, thoroughly aware of the teaching of the people of Israel, and yet struck by the teaching of Jesus that was just so enlivening, so powerful. And of course he goes to Jesus at night and he says to him, you know, truly we know that you are a teacher from God. And Jesus' response to Nicodemus immediately is this: truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless you're born again, you can't even see the kingdom of God. Many people claim to see the kingdom of God, but you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Now, we're just about to hear news, hopefully very soon, in the next few days, of a baby born to Alistair and Judy Fang. Born. How's that child going to be when it's born? Sorry? Well, yes, I wasn't thinking so much of the sinful state in which we're born. I was thinking, when you are born, you are totally dependent. You are totally incapable of doing anything yourself. And Jesus is telling us we cannot even see the kingdom of God until you are aware you can do nothing yourself. You can do absolutely, you are totally dependent. Now, of course, Jesus considered seeing the kingdom of God is something of great importance. He wants us to see his kingdom. He wants us to participate in it. The whole question surrounding this issue of being born again showed Nicodemus could not see the kingdom of God. How can you be born when you're old? He goes on to say. He's working at it with his mind. He's still in the state of trying to do it himself. And we're so like this. Problems come, issues come, and we try ourselves to nut them out, sort them out, come up with our own answers. Well, as I said just a minute ago, what does it mean to be born again? It means starting life again. Like a little baby, totally dependent, and learning in that new life where our dependency is and remaining in that state of dependency. Because ultimately, as Kerry pointed out, we're born sinners and we are independent. We go our own way. We choose our own understanding. But Jesus wants us to be completely dependent on him, having no ability to look after ourselves, needing to learn how to live our lives all over again. Well, the story of Naaman in the Old Testament is actually a story about this truth. He's a Syrian army commander. And he has achieved great victories for the Syrian king, King of Aram. And he is very much valued by the king of Syria. But in this whole story, there is one person who is noted in the story, who shines through as the means by which Naaman can connect to the kingdom of God. And we read that story. Naaman, commander of the army of the king of Syria, was a great man. His master had high favour with him because by him the Lord had given victory to Syria. He was a mighty man of valour, but he was a leper. Now, as I've said in other times, leprosy, as we understand it today, was not necessarily exactly what was wrong with Naaman. Most skin diseases were considered to be leprosy. But we know that they can be of different origins and influences. But here was this man, powerfully influenced by a skin disease, obvious to everyone and to himself. Now the Syrians, on one of their raids, had carried off a little girl from the land of Israel. And she worked in the service of Naaman's wife. Now, this description in the Hebrew, little girl, katon, is very important. Because that Hebrew word means small, young, or unimportant. Small, young, and unimportant. Simple, pertaining to that which can be relatively easily determined or known. Insignificant, lesser, pertaining to being of low status compared to others. Young, younger, even youngest, pertaining to being of less chronological age compared to others. And small, pertaining to be relatively little. This is the word is describing this little girl. She's insignificant. Do you want to be insignificant? You see? It's not our natural choice, is it, to be insignificant? But this little girl is placed here and recorded in the scriptures as the means by which the kingdom of heaven can be seen. The little girl tells Naaman's wife where to find the help that is needed for Naaman with his leprosy. She says, "Would that my Lord were with the prophet who is in Samaria. He would cure him of his leprosy. He would do it. He'd be fine. Just take him to Samaria. He'll fix him." Now, this little girl knew Elisha. It's amazing how little children know when something is significant. They're like magnets. They know. She knew Elisha was the person who could bring the blessing of healing to Naaman. She had heard stories about Elisha and things that had happened. We've already read them, and amazing things that took place. And of course, those stories spread. Well, this information that's given to Naaman's wife is passed on to Naaman. There's a prophet in Samaria. If you go there, you could be cured of your leprosy. So what does Naaman do with this information? Naaman went in and told his lord, the king. "Thus and so spoke the girl from the land of Israel. And the king of Syria said, 'Go now, I will send a letter to the king of Israel.'" He's going to have a political engagement. There's diplomacy involved in this. He's going to get involved in providing some official worldly endorsement for Naaman to go to Israel. Well, let's see what happens. So he went, taking with him 10 talents of silver. This is the thinking of Naaman. Healing. Oh, it's going to cost me. It's going to be expensive. I need to take lots of money. 10 talents of silver, 6,000 shekels of gold, and 10 changes of clothing. We're going to see these things being brought out when Elisha finally is approached, because Naaman's thinking is that these provisions are going to cost money, resources. We think exactly the same so often. We get our minds into the natural world. You know, Sam has been preaching beautifully from Matthew 10. Have you been listening? Have you been hearing what Jesus said to the disciples as he sent them out? Take no silver. Take no money. See, our minds go straight onto the, you know, the bank book. How much have we got? What did he talk about? Under our belt. Let's be honest about ourselves and how we approach life. Let's be really honest. Are we embracing the principles of God's kingdom? Do we see his kingdom? Do we operate on terms of his kingdom? You see, Naaman and the king also of Syria, oh, you need a diplomatic letter to get you into Israel, and I'm going to write a letter to the king and tell him how I favour you, and you're worthy of getting this healing. Well, actually, it's going to cause there's going to be a turmoil as a result of this response that he makes. He's taking all this money, he's taking all this goods. He brought the letter to the king of Israel, which read, "When this letter reaches you, know that I have sent to you Naaman, my servant, that you may cure him of his leprosy." When the king of Israel read the letter, he tore his clothes. He said, "Am I a god to kill and to make alive that this man sends word to me to cure me, the man of leprosy? Only consider and see how he is seeking a quarrel with me." You see how the natural mind goes into action over so many things. Just like you said about the emails and the text messages and all the rest of it. And we get completely the wrong end of the stick. We judge people's hearts before we actually even know actually what's going on. If you go back to the original truth of the story, there's a little girl in Syria telling Naaman's wife, just go to Syria, go to Samaria, there's a prophet there and you'll be cured. But we've got a diplomacy going on here. We've got letters between the kings. We've got all sorts of natural responses to this that are causing problems. And we do exactly the same. Instead of just going and doing exactly what the little girl said, taking no money, he didn't need all the money. Well, later on we're going to see what the money does to Gehazi. I think Lamb talked about, you know, the servants of God getting fast cars and bigger houses and all the rest of it. Well, if you look at Elisha, you'll delight yourself in a man of God. He's not interested in money. But do we really see how we operate ourselves in our thinking, in our responses to situations that occur? Do we really see the kingdom of God? What is the secret to seeing the kingdom of God? Well, Jesus tells us this. You must be born again. You've got to become completely aware of your inability to do anything yourself. You need to be like a little baby just born. And of course, when Jesus taught, what did he say as we read tonight? The disciples came to Jesus. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And calling to him a child. Calling to him a little child. Just like this little girl here in Syria. Jesus says, put him in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn, unless you change and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." All the cleverness we, sadly in our day, we have so focused in our society on building people up with knowledge and filling their minds with all sorts of things, and the childlikeness of simply believing simple truths that God says are argued away. Well, Jesus put this child in the midst of them. He said, unless you turn, become like little children, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Let me encourage you to come to playgroup. Even if you're in your 90s, come to playgroup. Come and enter into the life of the little children in playgroup and be taught how to walk with God. Seriously, I mean this. I invite you to come. I go every week because it teaches me how to walk with God better. The joy to see those kids after playgroup, they go, hide and seek, hide and seek, Mr. Jets, hide and seek. The simple things that just bring such release of life, the kingdom of heaven. Well, as I was preparing this message, I couldn't help but think of this story. This is the story of a man who was the captain of a ship that took George Mueller across to America. And this captain said, "When I first came to America 31 years ago, I crossed the Atlantic with the captain of a..." Sorry, this is Mr. English talking about the captain of the steamer, who was one of the most devoted men I ever knew. "When we were off the Newfoundland, he said to me, 'Mr. English, the last time I crossed here 5 weeks ago, one of the most extraordinary things happened, which has completely revolutionized the whole of my Christian life. Up to that time, I was one of those ordinary Christians. We had a man of God on board, George Mueller of Bristol. I had been at the bridge for 22 hours and never left it. I was startled by someone tapping me on the shoulder. It was George Mueller. 'Captain,' he said, 'I have come to tell you that I must be in Quebec on Saturday afternoon.' This was Wednesday. 'It is impossible,' I said. 'Very well, if your ship can't take me, God will find some other means of locomotion to take me.' I've never broken an engagement in 57 years. 'I would willingly help you. How can I? I'm helpless. Let us go down to the chart room and pray.' I looked at that man of God and I thought to myself, 'What lunatic asylum could that man have come from? I never heard of such a thing.' 'Mr. Mueller,' I said, 'do you know how dense the fog is?' The problem was impossible in front of the captain. 'No,' he replied, 'my eye is not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life.'" Do we see the kingdom of God? Are our eyes on the kingdom of God? As we've been hearing from Matthew chapter 10, Jesus says, "Go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel and proclaim as you go, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.'" You can be part of this kingdom. You can be engaging with another realm, like Mueller. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You receive without paying, give without pay. Acquire no gold or silver or copper for your belts, no bag for your journey, or two tunics or sandals or a staff, for the labourer deserves his food. And whatever town or village you enter, find out who is worthy in it and stay there until you depart." This is living completely differently to the way the world teaches us. And that's what Lamb has been preaching to us over the last couple of weeks. Well, Mueller said, "No," he replied, "my eyes not on the density of the fog, but on the living God who controls every circumstance of my life." Then the captain says, he got down on his knees and prayed. "One of the most simple prayers," I muttered to myself, "that would suit a children's class where the children were not more than 8 or 9 years old." You know, we want to make long prayers. We want to go, you know, this way and that way. An 8 or 9 year old just prayed. The burden of his prayer was something like this: "Oh Lord, if it is consistent with thy will, please remove the fog in 5 minutes. You know the engagement you made for me in Quebec on Saturday. I believe it is your will. When he finished, I was going to pray. But he put his hand on my shoulder and told me not to pray. First, you do not believe he will. And second, I believe he has. And there's no need whatever for you to pray about it. I looked at him, and George Mueller said, "Captain, I have known my Lord for 47 years, and there's never been a single day that I have failed to gain an audience with the King." So what is the secret of having an audience with the King? Unless you turn and become like a little child, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You cannot get an audience with the King. You can't enter into his presence. "Get up, Captain, and open the door, and you'll find the fog is gone." I got up, and the fog was gone. You tell that to some people of a scientific turn of mind, and they will say, "That is not according to natural laws." No, it is according to spiritual laws. The God with whom we have to do is omnipotent. Hold on to God's omnipotence. Ask believingly on Saturday afternoon, I may add. George Mueller was there on time. This little girl in this story of Naaman is the hero. Without her input, Naaman would never have been healed. Without her simplicity, he would never have accepted what Elisha told him to do. Let us all take note of how we can see the King, have an audience with him each day. Let's pray.